Man, thank you guys. Hello, everybody. It's good to be here with you, worship with you today. I'm just going to go ahead and jump right into my message. I got a couple questions I want to ask, questions that you might have asked yourself. Who am I, and why am I here? Any of you guys ever think about that stuff? Ever wonder? Who are you? Why are you here? These are questions that people wrestle with really throughout their entire lives. We begin our lives as infants. We need to be fed. We need to be changed. We need to be held. We really have no idea who we are. We just sort of exist. And it takes a while to discover it. But we are all born with incredible potential to become the people that God has created us to be and have a destiny, that a plan and a purpose that God has in mind for every single one of us. But then as we mature, we learn a little bit more about ourselves. We figure out some things maybe that we're good at. We figure out what we like. Then as children, we play dress up. We pretend that we're going to be a firefighter or a nurse or a teacher or a superhero. We fight against evil. We rule a kingdom. Or we pretend to be someone special. And most kids do that, but honestly, I think part of that is just learning to figure out our identity. We're trying on different things in a very practical sense to figure out what fits us. What do we like? What do I want to be when I grow up? We wonder about that identity. And then life happens. Some of us grow up in homes where we are not really loved very much. We're not really nurtured. We're not really cared for. And the message that we receive as children is that I am not worthy of receiving love. Some of us grew up in homes where we were loved and our parents told us really positive, encouraging things. But then we go to school and the kids at school told us things that were not so positive and encouraging. Any of you identify with that? In fact, I remember in my own life, some of my most vivid memories of elementary school is playing on the playground and having the kids call me Dumbo because my ears stuck out. And it just so happened by the stroke of convenience that 1986 happened to be the year that the movie Dumbo came out. I'm not bitter, I'm mostly over it, okay? And really, honestly, ever since, not so much ever since, but for a long, long time, I thought I was ugly because the kids at school called me Dumbo. I thought there was something wrong with me. And then I grew up a little bit. I figured out that if I could do well in school, that I thought people would like me. The teachers and parents all thought that was cool. I could beat people in spelling tests and multiplication contests and get my work done before everybody else, and I got a lot of pats on the back for that. But the other kids in my class didn't think that was so awesome. So I was still looking for acceptance. I wanted to belong, but I still felt lonely. I still felt like an outsider, even though I was doing good in school. And then I got old enough to be in sports, and then I thought, well, if I can be good in sports, then people will like me, then they will accept me. If I can run fast enough and score enough touchdowns, then people will include me. And so I found a new identity as an athlete. I set a couple records in track and junior high. I would always sprint by the girls at practice to try and get their attention. And the problem is, no matter how fast I ran or how many gold medals I won, it still didn't work. I still didn't find what I was looking for. I became an all-state tight end in football. I started on our basketball team. I had a pile of gold medals, but it still wasn't enough. I even got my name in the D-Wood Observer almost every week. I accomplished a lot as an athlete, but I still felt hollow inside. Eventually, I went to college. And really, I had a chance to be anybody. Nobody knew who I was. They didn't know my past. I could have taken any path that I wanted. I was on the football team. A lot of the frats wanted me to join their club because I had good grades, and they thought I'd be good in their little frat. And I could have really done anything, but what I chose to do was be involved in a group called Christian Campus Fellowship. It was a campus ministry group at my college, and really, for the first time in life, I felt like I had a place where I actually belonged. Like, the people didn't care what kind of clothes I wore. They didn't care how good I was at sports. They didn't care how good I was at school. They just accepted me for who I was. And that was awesome to have friends that were like that. And really, their focus in life was serving Jesus and worshiping him and learning about the Bible and serving people on campus. That was what I began devoting my time and attention to, which was really great. Except the problem is I carried some of my old habits from the past. I quickly learned that if I memorized enough verses and if I prayed the right prayers and signed up for enough outreach events, then people would respect me for being a good Christian leader. And I eventually became the president of that campus organization. And I got all sorts of pats on the back. So basically, I mean, a lot of the stuff was good, but I was still trying to earn that approval by accomplishing something. And really, over my whole life, I've still kind of struggled with that part of my identity, of trying to find my identity in what I do and what I accomplish. And if I'm not careful, I can still kind of go back that way. I can still find my identity for what I do, like as a pastor, or my hobbies as a fly fisherman, or I'm someone who likes to ski, or I can find my identity in being a dad or a husband, and instead of what God really calls the truth about who I am. So that's some of my story, some of my background. What about you? Can you identify with your own story? Maybe your own quest to find out who you are. Can you look back at your life and think back about those times where you tried to be someone or tried to fit into a certain group, tried on different identities to discover the real you? Maybe you found your identity in your job. You're a mechanic, you're a social worker, you're a nurse, you're a stay-at-home mom. Whatever it is that you do, you've sort of found your role and your niche and identifying for your job. Maybe you served in the military and you identify as a veteran. Perhaps you found your identity as a mom or a dad. That's really, really important to you. Maybe your identity is that you're single or that you're a widow. Maybe those are some things that define who you are. Or maybe you find yourself defining yourself a little more negatively. You know, maybe the kids made fun of you in school, just like they did for me. And so you sort of carry those things that they told you about yourself as a child or a teenager, and you're still sort of walking that out, right, still today. Maybe you've, at some point in your life, fallen into an addiction, and so you identify as an alcoholic, or I'm a smoker, or maybe you have a disease or a sickness that you're fighting right now, and so you kind of see yourself through that diagnosis, like I have ADHD, or I have depression, or I'm a diabetic. Those are some things that are always on the front of your mind about who you are. And whatever you call yourself, however you see yourself this morning, whether you say it would be a positive thing or a negative thing, I have really good news for you today. And that is this. The real truth about your identity comes from God. The real truth about who you are comes from God himself. You see, God knows the truth about who you are. He is the one who is able to tell you who you really are. You're not defined by your past, or what's been done to you, or what you've done, or what you do. What matters is who he says you are. You see, what I've discovered in my life is that God isn't all that impressed with all of my achievements. All he ever wanted was to know me, to do life with me. That's all he really cares about. And all the way through those years, as I look back, God was guiding me. He was whispering to me. He was trying to help me discover that he created me just the way he wanted to, that my ears were not too big and they did not stick out too far. And even though I had success in sports, he was trying to help me realize, hey, Troy, there's more to life than athletics. There's a much bigger plan that I have for you. And more than anything else, what God really wanted me to discover about myself is that I am his child. You see, there's nothing I can do to earn that. It's just who I am. There's nothing that I can do that will make God love me any more or any less than he already does. I belong, I am accepted, I am his, and my identity comes from him. And so can yours. Let's pray. God, I pray that could be true in our hearts this morning, that you would reveal to us the truth about who we are, that we would discover and see ourselves in a new way, that we would find ourselves from the way that you see us instead of the ways that we see ourselves, God. I just pray that it'd be more than just something that I say, God, that you would just kind of sear it in our minds and our hearts of who we really are and how you see us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to be kicking off a brand new series of messages we're calling You Say. For the next month or so, we're going to be digging kind of deep into what does God really say about who we are. You know, we're going to kind of forget about all that stuff about what we say about ourselves, what other people say about us, and we're going to focus on what does God say about who I am. You see, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter so much what your parents said about you, whether they were encouraging to you or not. It doesn't matter what the kids at school said to you or what the people at your job say about you. It doesn't matter whether you impress the people around you or not, whether they think you're fun to be with, or how much you know, or how much you have life figured out. What matters most is what God says about you. Who does he think you are? You see, who you are is not decided by who you say you are. You are not labeled by your past mistakes. You are not ugly. You are not a loser. You are not a wimp. You are not abandoned. You are not an accident. Your identity is not based on your gender or your sexual preferences. You are not defined by your achievements or your position or your possessions. You're not defined by any of that stuff. You're not defined by what school you went to or how pretty you are or what you wear or what you do or what you like. Those are not the things that define who you are. You are not defined by the color of your skin. You are not defined by any of the stuff that the world would like to put us in boxes and tell us who we are. You are who God says you are. You're who God says you are. He is the only one who knows the truth about who you really are. He is the one who created you in his image. He is the only one who knows your destiny. He knows what you'll be like 1,000 years from now. And he's cooperating with you in the long, slow work of becoming that person that you will one day be. And so do you want to know who you are today? Do you want to find your real identity? Before we discover who we are, first, we need to find out who God is. So let me ask you, you don't have to answer out loud, but who is God to you? When you think of God, what comes to your mind? Because if you don't know the truth about who God is, then you won't be able to know the truth about who you are. Because God is the one who knows the truth about you. And we all have our own views about God. Many of us believe in God, and we have different ideas in mind when we say that. There might actually be some people here in this room right now that are just sort of here checking things out. You're not really sure about God. You're not really convinced if he's even real or not. And I'm super glad you're here. That's okay. I hope along the process of me sharing today that you'll get to know God better and he'll become more real to you. There's all other common views about God. One of the most common ones is that God does not exist, that it's up to you to figure out life, that there's nobody outside of you telling you who you are. It's up to you to create your own identity and your own destiny. That's the thing that we hear most on TV. Another option is that you believe that God is real, but he's sort of distant and far away. And if that's what your view is about God, that he's far away and kind of unknowable, then you'll never feel close to him. It'll be, again, feel like it's up to you to figure out your life. Maybe God to you feels sort of like a deadbeat dad who exists somewhere out there, but he doesn't really do anything for you. He doesn't care for you. He just sort of shows up once in a while when it's convenient for him, and then he leaves and goes away again. A lot of people have that view about God. Many of us also believe that God is angry, that he's mad at us, that he's disappointed in us. You wouldn't believe how many people I tell. When I tell them I'm a pastor, I maybe invite them to church, they'll say, you know what, if I walk through those doors, that place is going to cave in. Okay? Now, they're sort of joking, but they're also kind of not joking. They feel like they're not worthy of God's love. They think God's disappointed in their life. They feel unworthy, like they don't measure up. And so they think that God would never want to spend time with them. Maybe to you, God is sort of like an angry grandpa sitting in the sky in his rocking chair, just telling you to shut up and behave. Those are all really common views about who God is. But the problem is they're all wrong. None of them are the truth. You see, again, if you want to know the truth about who you are, you have to know who God is. So what is God really like? I want to dive into that for a minute. When we find out who God is, this creator God, the God of the Bible, we find that God himself revealed his own identity. He told us who he is. A long time ago, towards the beginning of the Old Testament book of Exodus, God was having a little conversation with a guy named Moses. And Moses had this conversation. This time, people of Israel were slaves in Egypt, and God kind of picked this guy named Moses to lead his people out of slavery and take them into a new area that he called the Promised Land. So Moses then asked God this question, said, okay, I understand you gave me this job, and I'm supposed to tell these people where we're going, but if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, well, what is his name? Who is this guy that you're talking about, Moses? What shall I say to them? See, Moses wanted to know more about what God is like. He wanted to know more about God's identity because, especially in ancient Israel, your name revealed your identity. What your name was told something about your character. And all of the other gods that other nations worshipped, they all had names. They all had characteristics. And so Moses wanted to know, okay, God, which God are you? Which one am I supposed to tell them that we're following? And here's God's reply. He says, I wish I could say, I don't know what God sounded like. It sounds really cool. He says, I am who I am. Amen. That's amazing. I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. You guys, this reply from God, I am who I am, is absolutely amazing to me. This is the Hebrew word Yahweh. This is something that we sing about in songs. This is one of the most common, well-known God's names for God in the Old Testament. And this is Yahweh, which means I am who I am. God knows who he is. He says, I am who I am. He is the source of all identity. Everything else in the world gets its definition from him. He has always existed. He is always present with us, and he will always be. He says, I am the one who created the universe. I am your king. I am your savior. I am your deliverer. I am your protector. I am. And then throughout the rest of the Old Testament, God continued to reveal more and more about his character. He revealed himself through the prophets. He says, one day I'm going to show up. I'm going to show you what I'm going to be like. I'm going to walk with you. You'll finally know exactly who I am. Hebrews 1 says, long ago, God spoke many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. So what this is getting at is all of the whole Old Testament was leading up to the point where Jesus would come and show us exactly what God is like. You see, Jesus is the clearest picture that we have of God. Jesus was God, he is God, and he always will be God. Jesus said things like this. He said, anyone who has seen me has also seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? He says, the words that I speak are not my own, but my Father, who lives in me, does his work through me. Just believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. You guys, Jesus is making this a really big deal. He's saying, I am God. I am Yahweh. I am. And it wasn't just Jesus who thought he was God, okay? Other people agreed with him. The early followers of Jesus believed that Jesus was who he said he was. The Apostle Paul wrote, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. That is one of the most clear definitions that we have of Jesus' deity, that he really was God, that he was who he said he was. He says, he existed before anything was created, and he is supreme over all creation. A couple verses later, it says, for God was, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. So that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God, and he's the heart, he's the character, he's the very identity of God, and it's fully revealed in the life of Jesus. You guys, this is so important because you can't know who you are if you don't know who God is. If you don't have a clear picture of who God is, then you can't have a clear picture of yourself. And the clearest picture we have of what God is like is Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is God, and he came to show us what God is really, really like. Why does that matter? Because if we don't believe the truth about who God is, we won't believe the truth about who we are. If God looks like Jesus, then God is not distant and unloving. God is kind. God is compassionate because that's what Jesus was like. God is not angry. He is loving. God does not make us get our lives cleaned up first before we go to him. No, God is the one who goes, leaves his throne to come be with us in all of our own mess. In Jesus, we find the true identity of God fully revealed as a human being. One of my pastor friends, his name is Putty Putman. He serves at a church in Vineyard in Urbana, Illinois. He says, He shows us 100% of the truth about God, and he also shows us 100% of the truth about humans. What that means is Jesus shows us not only what God is like, he also reveals to us what we are supposed to be like and the relationship that we are designed to have with God. What that means is that you are designed to walk in intimacy with God. Like the same relationship that Jesus had with the Father, that is what your destiny is. That's what you were created for. You were meant to live a life of love, a life of obedience to God. And my job is to show kindness and love to others, just like Jesus did. Our mission, all of us together, is to extend God's rule, his kingdom, his reign to the farthest corners of the earth, because that's what Jesus' mission was. The mission that Jesus had is the same mission that we have. He is the one who gives us the real glimpse at our true identity. Way back in the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, he says, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." You guys, we are supposed to be like God. That's what we're created for. Now, I want to be clear. We are not God, okay? We will never become God. That job's already taken. But it's our job to look like God, to reflect his image, to be like him. When people see us, we are supposed to remind them of what God is like. When we comfort a crying child, we're acting like God because God cares for children. When we donate food to the pantry, we're acting like God because Jesus cared for the poor, didn't he? When we pray for the sick, people who need healing, when we show love and we take care of their needs, we're being like Jesus because Jesus healed and cared for the sick. That's what our job is. That is the truth of who we are. We are created to be like him. And every one of us reflects different parts of his image in different ways. It's like how the light shines through a prism and then reflects all different sorts of colors. Every single one of us is one of those colors, but when you point back to its source, it points back to the original light, which is Jesus himself. Some of us reflect the image of God that's more tender and compassionate. That's part of the image of God. Some of us are more like strong and courageous and bold. That's part of the image of God. Some of us reflect a piece of God's mercy and his grace for people. Others of us reflect more of God's justice and helping people discover who the truth of who they are. All of us together, none of us has it all figured out on our own, but when you put all of us together, we all reflect a piece of God's character and his heart. That's what it's supposed to be like. You guys, that is our identity. That is our destiny. You have been uniquely created. You've been uniquely fashioned and formed by God to show the world what God is like. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are created in Christ Jesus. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago." We were wonderfully created in his image. Psalm 139 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." God knows who you are. He made you. He fashioned you. When he made Heather, he said, "Oh, this is going to be amazing. She's going to be a gift to the world. I'm so glad I made her." Oh, Flossie. Oh, this! I can't wait to share Flossie with the world. Wait till she see what she's going to become. You understand, guys, what God is doing. He's fashioned and made every single one of you on purpose to reflect his love and his image to the world. So why does that matter, you guys? You guys, if our identity comes from God, then you no longer have to impress other people. You no longer have to strive for accomplishments for yourself. If your identity comes from God, you're no longer defined by your past or your record. If your identity comes from God, you don't have to keep searching, keep wondering who you are or what your purpose in life is supposed to be. If your identity comes from God, then you can begin to believe that these things that I'm about to say of you are true. You are beautiful. You are unique. You are loved. You are cared for. You are chosen. You're part of his family. You are his daughter. You are his son. You are his beloved. You belong to him. You see, you guys, I don't know if you know it or not, but all of those things and more are true about your identity, about who you are. That's what God says is true, at least. There's a recent song I hear a lot on the radio by Lauren Daigle. It's called "You Say." And I think she perfectly captures this sort of tension, this inner struggle that we fight sometimes in ourselves between what God says about us and then what we think of ourselves or what other people tell us. So it's about 4 or 5 minutes long. I'm going to play this song, this music video. The lyrics will be up on the screen behind me. But as you're watching this song, I just want you to reflect back kind of on your own life. Think about some of those lies, some of those things that you've told yourself that maybe aren't the full truth about who you are. And just let God remind you of who you really are. Let's play the video.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Says the only thing that matters now. That's what we can pray. It's good. Did you hear what she said? The only thing that matters now is what you think of me.
Amen. Amen.
In you I find my worth. In you I find my identity. You guys, that's what I want for all of us. That we would all know how much God loves us and how he sees us. That we would find our true worth and our true identity in God this morning. Some of you are here today and you've been sort of finding your identity in everything else except for God. Maybe today is the first day that you've heard and understood that God loves you, that he accepts you just the way you are. He wants to be with you. Maybe that's your first time you've heard that. If that's you this morning, on the back of your connect card, I just invite you to circle, "I want to start following Jesus." We just want to help you get started on that journey of knowing and following him. There's other of us today who are already part of the family of God. We've been here for a while. We already say that we're followers of Jesus, but we've forgotten who we are. Maybe we've focused a little bit too much on our career or our hobbies. We found too much of our identity or our worth and all those other things instead of who God says we are. And so for us, it's time to repent. It's time to turn around, change direction, change our way of thinking, and agree with what God says is the truth about who we are. Maybe that's you this morning. For really all of us, I'd like to encourage all of us to keep coming the rest of the month. We're going to be exploring other things that God says about us. I think it's going to be a powerful series because once we understand who we are in Christ, then we're going to be difference makers. If we walk out our identity in Christ, the Quad Cities will never be the same, our church will never be the same, our families will never be the same, and we ourselves will never be the same if we understand the truth about who we really are. That's what I want to see this year, that God would do that for us. Let's pray. So God, I pray that you would, more than all the New Year's resolutions or all the things we're going to do, all the new habits, God, remind us of who we are. Get to the very root, the foundation, the very core of our identity. Just let us do business with you about that first. And once we know who we are, then the rest of the stuff will figure itself out. God, I pray that you would break through the lies that people have believed about themselves. I pray that you would break through the accusations, the things that people told us on the playground or at work, the ways that we've tried to fit in, the ways we've tried to become someone that we're not. God, I just pray that you would break all those things off of us and just speak truth, speak life, right to the very core of who we are. So as we encounter you in worship, as we